Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the story behind the treasured poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas"? Let's go in-depth with Pamela McCall, author of "'Twas the Night, the Art and History of the Classic Christmas Poem." Pamela, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started publishing in the 1990s, and I had a history and an art background, and I did maybe 12 books, and then I stumbled upon, in 2012, the idea of doing a smoke-free, pipe-free edition of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," and that was so well received that it kind of catapulted me into a whole new sphere, because Stephen Colbert took an interest in it, and Barbara Walters and NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams, and it kind of became a global story. Make Santa Claus a smoke-free character.
I think it's a good thing if kids are going to be reading it.
Well, true. And in 1998, the Master Settlement Agreement kind of, you know, made it illegal to use cartoon characters to depict smoking or promote smoking. And so Joe Campbell went, you know, the way of the dustpan. So I just thought, well, maybe Santa Claus, who's so loved, maybe he should not be smoking as well. And I certainly have been applauded for doing it. I've certainly had my critics, but it was well received. And that publication is 10 years old now, and it's still doing really, really well. So it was a great project.
Well, and you've got a new book, "'Twas the Night, the Art and History of the Classic Christmas Poem." Now, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, back in 2012, I realized that the poem was turning 200 in 2022, and then the publishing bicentennial would be 2023. And so I thought, what a great project for me to work on because of my history background and my art background. And I spent 10 years working on this publication that came out in September. And it's just been, you know, a thrill to work on because it's such a loved poem. And everywhere I go, right, everybody has wonderful memories of reading it as a child or reading it to a grandchild. And so I'm 64 years old, so it's sort of a dream retirement project to tour America and talk about this poem for years to come, hopefully.
Well, what's special about the poem?
What's special about the poem is that it's benevolent, it's kind, it's jolly, it's merry, but it's also magical. And so it's, you know, all this anticipation of Santa Claus coming and his reindeer and the excitement of it all. And children just love it because of that. And I think it's endeared so many people to it because it is kind and it's Christian in concept because it's non-judgmental. There's no birch and rod. There's no threat of punishment. There's no, you know, there's no punishment for naughty or nice. It's just kind. And it's just extremely well written. It's just easy to memorize. And it's also set at the heart of Christmas in America. You know, before this poem came along, you know, Christmas Eve was a non-event. You know, people were not doing it at all. They were doing maybe New Year's Eve with toys for children and trinkets and candies. But this poem really created something that Americans have just loved for 200 years.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Pamela McCall, author of "'Twas the Night, the Art and History of the Classic Christmas Poem." Well, tell us a little bit about the poet, Clement Clark Moore.
Well, Clement Clark Moore was from Manhattan. He was a very interesting man, a scholar. His father was the bishop of the Diocese of New York, and he has roots way back to the Mayflower as far as early American history. He was an academic, as I mentioned. He taught at the General Theological Seminary, and he was also very interested in the arts, so he spoke multiple languages, and he played a couple of instruments. He actually introduced Italian opera to New York, so he was a very cultured man, but he also had a large family and lots of children, and so he wrote this poem for his children on Christmas Eve of 1822.
And did he have other famous poems?
No, he did not. He wrote a collection, he published a collection of his poems called Poetry in Poems in 1844, But this is by far the most famous. The rest are a little difficult. And there's one that's sort of fun about taking his children on a trip to Saratoga Springs, but nothing in comparison to Twas Night Before Christmas.
Well, tell us about the process. I mean, you've got a poem, and then you create this beautiful book, narrative, photographs, art, all around it. How did that come together?
Well, I started off with the life of Clemency Moore, born near the end of the American Revolution and dies 2 years before the end of the American Civil War. So it's a really fascinating period in American history to study. But then I built upon the legend of St. Nicholas, which is really the heart of this poem, because St. Nicholas, back in the days of the Roman Empire in the 3rd century, he delivered gold anonymously at night into the home of a man who couldn't afford to save his daughters from being sold into slavery with a dowry so they could be married. And so it's this legend of St. Nicholas and anonymous giving at night through an open window of gold that really is at the heart of the poem. And so I had to travel back to the Roman Empire and then all my way through Western culture into England and Great Britain, and then, of course, crossing the seas into America. So it was a pretty big history project. And along the way, you know, you come across amazing pieces of art that depict all of this wonderful Christmas story. And so putting the book together, every page has a beautiful image on it. And then, of course, all the illustrations of this poem are magnificent, from, you know, F.O.C. Darley of 1862 to Norman Rockwell. It's just wonderful art.
Well, getting permission to republish some of these must have been difficult.
Well, the Andy Warhol was expensive. Wasn't too difficult, but, you know, some of these things have copyright. Andy Warhol certainly does. And a lot of museums helped me, and they were very generous. I'm paying a nominal fee for their digital files. And a lot of the work in my book is public domain because it is, you know, old. However, sometimes you do have to pay fees. And you're right, it was difficult, and I had to track things down. And I found the only known photograph of Clemency Moore taken by his cousin in the 1850s, so it's about 10 years before his death. And that was a great day for me to get this file open and actually see Clemency Moore for the first time. It was really thrilling.
Did you hit some kind of a critical mass when you say, okay, now I've got all the information, I've got the book, so I'm going to pull the book together, or did you just sort of build it as you traveled and learned?
Oh, well, I think any author does the author's dance, where you have so much information in your head and so many papers flying around, you don't think you're ever going to have it come together, and you're just overwhelmed. So that certainly happened to me. But I did have a deadline. I knew this was an anniversary project. I wanted it out for Christmas of this year, and so I had to, you know, pull the files and go to print. And I plan to revise the book a little bit because I've learned things since. But I was talking to someone yesterday who said, you know, a perfectionist is someone who sometimes often fails because they wait so long, you know, that they never get it done, or they try so hard to make it perfect. So I thought that was interesting. So I always had a ship date on this project, and that was Christmas of 2022. And so I delivered it, which is, I think, important, because I think the celebration is an important poem for America. And I think it's an important celebration, so I want to make it.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Pamela McCall, author of Twas the Night, the art and history of the classic Christmas poem. And why is the poem important to you? I mean, why is it important to America? Does it speak to us now? And I guess it spoke to us since our beginnings, almost.
It did. And it's an important poem because it's about hope. And it's very much about the sentiment that we see in Jiminy Cricket sitting on a rock wishing upon a star, Linus sitting in a pumpkin patch waiting for the great pumpkin. It's Mickey Mouse. It's magical thinking. It's hope, belief. And it's imaginative thinking in that in wintertime, when we have all of these, you know, cold winds and, you know, dark nights, you know, the human spirit always needs to be lifted through art and through magical thinking. And this poem does that splendidly. You know, we have this wonderful character, Santa Claus, benevolent, kind. We have the magical reindeer, and it's this sense of hope and inclusiveness that every everyone's going to get something. You just need to believe. And I think that that's a big part of the American dream. It's a big part of the American psyche. And I think it's really, really important. And if you look around, I mean, it's incredible how much we celebrate this one night of the year. I mean, houses are decorated. People are running around in stores buying things. Everyone's excited. You know, it's so great. And the spirit of giving and love and kindness is so prevalent this time of the year. And I just think that's so important.
I'm sure you have a copy laying around. Would you mind reading it for our listeners?
Would you like me to read the whole poem?
Sure, it's only a couple minutes, right?
Sure, I can do that, sure. So this is my smoke-free edition because this is the one I prefer. So here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the crest of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in the twinkling I heard on the roof, the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and I was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a panther just opening his pack. His eyes how they twinkled, his dimples how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up with like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was a chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Yeah, well, I asked you if you had a copy handy, but I bet you could do that from memory.
I could, but I also have copies. I live in Christmas. It's really amazing. One of the, I think the most charming readings I've heard of this recently was King Charles, Prince Charles, King Charles, with Camilla and Dame Judy Dench and Maggie Smith reading it. It's really fun. He's very, very happy. I think happier than I've ever seen him reading this poem. That's available online. You can see that. It's really kind of a hoot.
Well, and I know people are going to want copies of your book. It's a little late for people to buy this now. This isn't, you know, airing until later this week. But where can people find your book?
Well, all the independent bookstores and Page Turner's, the Book Vault, and Beaverdale Books, all of those would have it. Certainly to want to be ordered. And if they've missed this book for this Christmas, of course, Christmas comes again next year. And next year is a celebration of the poem's printing, and it will be a big biennial celebration in Manhattan, for sure, and in the city of Troy, where it was first published. So, you know, as I always say, Christmas comes every year, so these books just keep on giving, and the poem keeps on being enjoyed by everybody. I just wanted to say that the number one person who's been buying my new book, Twas the Night, the Art and History of the Classic Christmas Poem, has been a 70-year-old gentleman, 75-year-old, and it's usually because they read it to their children or they're reading it to their grandchildren. And I love seeing this because this means that a whole new generation of children are going to grow up with memories of Christmas, this poem, and these loved grandparents. And that will give the poem another 200 years. And that, to me, is wonderful.
Thanks to Pamela McCall for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.